got you turned on.
Thank you, Donnie Bell. If you want to turn with me to my text, you'll find it in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Good to see you. Appreciate the Lord's traveling mercy to all of us, letting us gather tonight as we are. Luke chapter 15. This is probably the deepest subject I've ever tried to preach on. And I hope when I announce my title, you don't laugh, because I'm serious. This is a subject that the world knows nothing of. Only faith can enter into this. And I pray tonight, as I try to enter into it and preach on it, that God will give me utterance and He'll give you a heart to hear and understand. You'll find my text and my title in verses 1 and verse 2. Luke's Gospel 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And my title is found here in verse 2. This man receiveth sinners. Now I'm certain that not only myself, but no preacher here tonight has ever preached the Lord Jesus Christ like He preached Himself. I have found through the years in my preaching that one here and one there, very few, as I preach, draw near to the Savior. But when Jesus Christ preached Himself, it was said here that all the publicans and sinners came to hear Him. All that I might, that you might, preach Jesus Christ in such a way that poor publicans and sinners would draw near unto Him. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Blessed God, He comes down here from heaven and joins Himself to our humanity, never ceased to be what He was before He left heaven, just as holy in our humanity as He was when He was there, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And yet sinners were attracted to Him and His message. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a mystery? You and I would be naive, brothers and sisters, to think that these publicans were good people. They weren't good people. They lived off of the backs of their Jewish brethren. The more they collected, the more they made. They were dishonest men. They intimidated men. They defrauded men. That's why they were despised of their Jewish brethren. And these sinners, we're not told what kind of people they were here, but we're told elsewhere in the Scripture. They weren't your Miss Kitties down in Dodge who just kept a few call girls, but she had a good heart. One of these women that drew near to the Lord Jesus had seven devils. What was that woman like? You wouldn't have wanted her around your sons. One man that came to the Lord Jesus had a legion of devils and lived in the cemeteries naked. One woman had five husbands and was living with one then that wasn't hers. You wouldn't trust her around your husband. These weren't decent people. They were ungodly people. Many of them were open and profane. As you read the epistles, you find murderers and thieves and drunkards and idolaters, abusers of themselves with mankind. And yet these same ungodly sinners and publicans drew near to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a mystery. That's a deep, deep mystery, is it not? What a mystery. Here's the great mystery of it. They drew near to the one that would put a stop to their sinful lifestyle. Isn't that a mystery? These publicans had lived in sin all of their lives, and they loved it. They lapped up iniquity like a thirsty dog would lap up water. And yet they approached unto the one that would put a stop to their sinful life. That's a mystery. They drew near Jesus. And the Bible says He received them. This man receiveth sinners. I want you to look where it began. Luke tells us, but I want you to look in Matthew chapter 9. You can leave Luke if you like and look in Matthew chapter 9. I doubt seriously when these publicans first came to hear the Lord Jesus that they had an interest in Him at all or what He was saying. We're told here in Matthew chapter 9 why they came to begin with. The Lord Jesus had just called Matthew, Levi. He was a publican. And look here in verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a publican. And He said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat, and Luke says it was in his house, Matthew's house, behold, many publicans, Luke says a great company of publican sinners, came and sat down with him and his disciples. Why did they come there? Well, just to eat. Just to socialize. They had a friend, a publican brother, that said, Come and eat dinner with us. I've got a fellow I want you to meet. And they said, Well, since you've got a meal, we'll come there and eat with you. But while they were there, they began to hear something that they'd never heard from the Pharisees before. Something that struck up something, a note, a tune in their conscience. He had got their attention. And you better bet when they left there, they began to think of what Jesus of Nazareth said. When He spake with power. He spake with authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. And when you came to Him, when you sat under His ministry, you didn't remain indifferent. You either began to listen to it and think about it, or you got mad and went away. And here's what He said in verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, Why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go you and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy, and I'm not come seeking for a contribution. I don't want a sacrifice. I've come to have mercy. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now that's the first thing they heard. And I just know for certain that message began to get into their conscience. And they begin to think about this. I can almost imagine a conversation between these publicans as the days pass by. They meet out on the street, a couple of them does. And one begins to look around and he said, Can I talk to you for a minute? What's going on, man? He said, I just not been feeling right lately. I tell you, I don't know what's going on in my heart, but I'm just getting sick of my life. I've lived all of my life against God. I'm not right with Him. And my conscience is eating me up. I can't sleep in the night. I just don't know what to do about it. And the other one says to him, You know, I've been feeling the same way. I've been miserable. I'm a miserable man. I went over and met with a Pharisee to talk to him about it, to see if he could help me. And he told me what I need to do is start fasting often. And I need to start paying my tithes and be more like him. Well, did you do it for a couple of weeks? But it didn't help me. As a matter of fact, I'm more miserable now than I was before. And in the first one, he says this: "You know I'm sick and you're miserable. But I remember the words of Matthew's friend. I remember what he said. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I think he has the remedy for me. And you're miserable. And he says, I came to have mercy. Mercy would relieve you of your misery. Here's what we need to do. We need to go hear him again." And what do you find here in Matthew chapter 15? Luke chapter 15. They drew near to hear him. The message had begun to get to them. They wanted to hear more of him. So now they come, not to hear him, not to eat a meal, not to socialize, but they want to hear Jesus of Nazareth. They want to hear the gospel as he preaches it. And boy, they heard something here in Luke chapter 15 that encouraged their afflicted conscience. This man receiveth sinners. This man receiveth sinners. You say, yes, but Bruce, that's what his enemies said about it. Yes, but he didn't deny it. And that thrilled them. As a matter of fact, he confirmed it. He told them this parable about this shepherd losing his sheep. And he left the 99 and went out in the wilderness to find this one lost straying sheep. And when he found it, what did he do? He laid it on his shoulder. And he carried it back to the fold. He found his sheep that was lost. Then he told him about this coin, this old dead, unfilling coin that was lost. And this woman lit a light and searched and swept the house until she found her coin. And she rejoiced when she found her coin. But I bet you the third parable that he told them got to them. There was this wretched boy, left his father's house and wandered off and squandered all of his living with harlots. Wound up in the hog pen. But he comes home. And what happens when the father sees him? Well, he runs. This rich man, this famous man, this man of great dignity and worth in the community, he runs. And he falls upon the shoulders and the neck of this boy. And the Bible says he received him. This man receiveth sinners. And he received him not only into his house, not only to his family, but into his heart. He received him. I love to watch the progression of these publicans. We're told in Luke chapter 5 that they came there for a meal. I imagine they were lighthearted. Can you see them joking? They weren't thinking about hearing the gospel. The next time you see them, it's here in Luke chapter 15, and they're drawing nigh. They've got more serious. And where's the next time you read about a public? He's standing up in the temple. He's beating on his chest, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Yes. Why did he say that? That's the first message he heard. I come to have mercy. So what does he do? He pleads it. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Can you see that man standing there? Boy, his countenance is fallen. I tell you, that was so foreign to that man to be in such a disposition. Those publicans, they had to be strong-willed. They had to have a disposition. They could look you right in the eye and intimidate you and never blink. They threatened people. But here was one boy. He was humble, wasn't he? His whole disposition had changed. What happened to him? He had heard the Savior. He needed mercy. He needed to be received. And he was received. And the Lord Jesus said, now listen to this. Here was a publican, an ungodly man that had cheated people, sinned against God all of his life. Now he stands here beaten up on his chest. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, that man went down to his house justified. All the sin that he had ever committed in his life, the sin against God, the sin against the law of God, the sin against the Spirit of God, sin against light, sins of ignorance, willful sin, every sin that he had committed in all of his lifetime, it was all forgiven. He went down to his house justified from all things. Isn't that a mystery? This man receiveth sinners. He receiveth sinners. There's a time in my life I didn't believe that. I had some sort of a notion that Jesus Christ was the Savior, but I didn't believe at all that He had received sinners. I thought that He might receive former sinners. I thought that He might receive men who had fallen but had lifted themselves up. I thought that He might be a Savior that would forgive sins once you quit your sinning business and then came to Him. And I tried all my teenage years to make myself fit to come to Him. That's what I'm saying. This is a mystery to me, brothers and sisters. What I'm telling you is foreign to me. I tried all my teenage years to prepare myself to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I never could get good enough. Until finally the blessed Holy Spirit opened my heart to see. He must receive you just as you are. But how was I? I was fallen. I was guilty. I was vile. Okay then. He receives you that way. Or He receives you not at all. And the instant I saw it, I was overwhelmed. I was amazed. I was so amazed I could hardly believe it. And to this day, I can't retain it. I get just the thought of it. Oh, just the flesh enters my mind and my understanding. I say, yes, there it is. This man receiveth sinners, but then it's gone. I can't retain it. This is a mystery. This is a mystery you have to be taught from heaven.
Yes.
There's something that's ingrained in me. I want to see this story about the prodigal son like this. I want to imagine it went like this. This suits me better. The prodigal son comes up to the gate and the father points at him, says, don't you enter that gate. I want you to go around back to the servants' quarters. I'm going to put you on probation for a while. You've got to earn your way back into my favor. And I'll keep my eye on you. And I'll watch you. And when I think you're ready, then I'll welcome you back in my house. That's the way I think it ought to go. But no, that's not the way the story went. No. The son came smelling like a hog. He didn't stop and take a bath on his way. He didn't stop and steal some clothes off the line. He didn't come dressed up and smelling good. He came just like he was. Filthy, vile. And the father fell upon his neck, put the best robe upon him, and received him safe and sound. I read the other day where one commentator says, the Lord saves us and puts us on probation. You know what probation is? That's part of your punishment for sinning, for your crimes against humanity. The father put him on probation? No. He received him. the danger was over. Safe and sound. I want you to look in Romans 15. If you and I could ask the Lord Jesus today why He receives sinners, Romans 15 and verse 9, I imagine He'd tell us many, many reasons. But I think this is probably the chief. Romans chapter 15 and verse 9. Verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Why does Christ receive sinners? To the glory of God. Let me tell you one thing that means. I have a knife, a little 3-inch long and 1/2-inch wide, 2-bladed knife, a little Case XX. And I told the church the other day, I said, I've got something that you pool all your money together and you can't buy it. That's that little knife. That's that little knife. 3 inches long, yellow handle, Case XX. And you know why you can't buy it? You pull all your money together and bring it to me, and I say, no way. You know why? You know why that knife's not for sale? You know why I put it in my drawer and every once in a while I'll take it out and look at it? You know why I put it where it's safe and sound? My Father gave me that knife. I remember the day He gave me that knife. He said, son, I want to give you something. I want to give you this. I've had this a long time. And I want you to have it. All my children, I want you to have this knife. You can't buy that knife, Gabe. You know why the Lord Jesus received sinners? Because the Father gave them to Him. They're not worth anything in and of themselves. The Bible says they're less than nothing. In and of yourself, you're worthless. But your value lies in this. Who gave you to the Son of God? That's your value. And He values you so greatly that He would never refuse or reject one elect soul that comes to Him for mercy. All that the Father gives to me, all that He has given, He still gives. Election's not something old. It's old, but it's always fresh in the Father's mind. I've chosen you and I've yet choose you. And all the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that comes to me, I'm going to receive him. I'll in no wise cast him out. I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Nothing. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus rejecting one elect soul? No, he'll never do it. He'll never do it. He'd be despising his Father's gift. He receives us for the glory of his Father. And I tell you, when he does, he puts us in a safe place. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Christ receiveth sinners. Look over in Hosea chapter 14. This is my second point. I'll deal with this quickly. Those that the Lord Jesus Christ receives, He will always receive. Those that He receives, He will always receive. If you go to Ezekiel and turn back to your right, you'll find the book of Hosea and look in verse 1. This has to do with God's people, Israel. Old Israel. Old Israel. God's elect people, God's redeemed people. But they had backslid, fallen. Someone asked J.C. Philpott one time, he said, "Do you believe in the saying of backsliding?" He said, "If I didn't, I'd believe a heresy." That we backslide, you better bet we backslide. Sometimes it's open, isn't it? Mostly it's in our heart, where nobody can see it but us. And what happens when we do that? Well, we feel the Father's chastening hand upon us, don't we? He chastens those He loves. And then what happens to us? We get shy. We get shy. We don't want to return to Him with all our hearts. We want to wait until the guilt subsides, to the memory of our fall and our backsliding is lost, till we're feeling better. Then when we feel better, then we'll return to Him. Then we'll go seeking Him with all our hearts. Why do we do that? I tell you why we do that. I'm telling you, this is a mystery, brothers and sisters. I ask myself, do I believe it? Do I believe that Jesus Christ receives sinners? If I believe that, then why do I delay when I fall? Why do I delay to go to Him when I've backslidden in my heart? When I've got cold and hard and indifferent? Why do I delay to go to Him until I feel better? I don't believe it. I don't believe there's grace enough in His heart to receive somebody like me. How could I have did what I did anyway? After He loved me and received me to begin with, how could I have gone astray? How could I have did that? This is what these four verses are about. And look what He says. They're wonderful verses. All Israel, my people, my redeemed people, my family, my loved ones, return unto the Lord thy God. Look at this. For thou hast fallen. What a reason to return. Because you've fallen. You're sinners. You're fallen by your iniquity. Take with you words and turn unto the Lord and say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Receive us. Does He receive backsliding sinners? Yes, He does. You have a backslide? Yes, you do. God help us, we do, don't we? And Lord, if You'll do that, we'll render the praises of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the works of our hands, You are our gods, for in Thee the fatherless find mercy. And what does the Lord say? I will heal their backsliding, and I will love them freely. For my anger is turned away from Him. He used the plural. I will heal their backsliders. I'll love them because my anger is turned away from Him. I wonder if that's speaking of Jesus Christ. You remember, I guess the man's name was Asaph, Psalm 73. I don't know if Asaph wrote this or David wrote it for Asaph, but it's got Asaph's name attached to it. Psalm 73, you remember this. He starts out by saying, my feet was almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was ready to fall and do myself untold damage. Hey, Sam, what was the matter with you? Well, I'm hesitant to even tell you. I'm embarrassed about this. I'm ashamed of what I was thinking. You talk about an awful attitude. I've got it myself in an awful fix. Oh, what was going on? I was envious at the foolish. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Everything he touched, he prospered in. He's not in trouble like everybody else. There's not even any bands in his death. He curses God and man. And he's healthy and wealthy. He's got it made. And man, I was in trouble every day. I was plagued all the day long. Everything I tried to do, even for God's glory, was burned in ashes at my feet. Every morning I got up, I felt my Lord's chastening hand upon me. Man, how did you ever get out of a condition like that? Well, he said, this is what I did. I just kept on going to the worship. I kept on going where the gospel was preached. I was thinking, if I ever get out of this mess, the gospel will have to get me out of it. And one day I was in the sanctuary, and the preacher got up to preach, and lo and behold, his subject was the end of the wicked. And then I saw what I've never saw before. My understanding returned to me. And I saw that God had set them in some slippery places. Even their prosperity was like ice. They were sliding and skipping around on. But lo and behold, they were ready to fall through. I thought the Lord was just blessing them and paying no attention to them. But it was like He was asleep. But when He awoke, He will despise their image. And He's going to destroy them. In a moment, they're going to be brought into these horrors, torment. There may not be any bands in their death, but one moment after they die, that's when their hell will start. That's when God will punish the wicked. You know how Asaph felt about himself? He went to the Lord in prayer and he said, oh, I've been like a fool. I've been like a beast before you. Just a raging beast. Ungrateful, wretched beast. Boy, I bet you're lost again, Asaph. Lost again. Why, yeah. You having a fall like that and thinking like that? You must be lost again. What did Asaph say? When he went to the Lord in prayer, what did he say? Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. My changing doesn't change my standing with the Lord. I am continually with thee. And he said, Lord, I know now why I didn't fall. Because you have helped me with my right hand. You got your omnipotent hand in my hand and you have helped me. And here's what he said. You're going to guide me with your counsel, and afterwards, when I leave this life, when I breathe my last, you'll receive me unto glory. What's your hope of being received unto glory? Are you any better than he was? Don't you struggle with sin all your life? Don't you pray against a hard, unbelieving heart? Can't you say with Abraham, I'm nothing but dust and ashes? Or with Jacob, I'm unworthy of the least of your mercies? Don't you know something about what Solomon was talking about when he said he knew the plague of his own heart? Can't you sit down and identify with David when he said, I was shapen in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me? You know what Job was talking about when he said, I'm vile. And Peter said when he prayed, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. Then how in the world can you have any hope of leaving this life and being received up into heaven? This is your hope. This man receiveth sinners. There's anybody here think you're above sin? Talking with a man one time, he said he hadn't sinned in, I forgot how many years. That's not reality. Here's the reality. You're born in sin. You lived in sin and was the servant of sin until Jesus Christ saved you, and now you're a sinner saved by grace. And if a man says he has no sin, he's deceived himself. And we'll die sinners. This is our hope. This man receiveth sinners. old Stephen had preached the gospel to those Jews, and man, they got mad at him. They gnashed upon him with their teeth, and they started picking up these huge rocks and throwing them at him. A huge one hit him in his stomach, knocked the breath out of him. Then one knocked his front teeth out. Then one hit him in the eye and blinded him. You say, Bruce, do you know that? What do you think happened when they stoned people? They killed them. They beat their body to death with stones. And the heavens opened. And he saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing on the right hand of the Father. And it says that he knelt down and he was calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus. He was calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus. He believed the same thing about Jesus that we do. Receive my spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, this man receiveth sinners. He receives them in this lifetime, and when their life is over, he'll receive them into glory. There's an old preacher, I forgot his name. His name escapes me. There somewhere in England in the 1800s. An old faithful pastor. And he was dying, and a friend went to see him. And the old pastor laid there with his eyes shut, listening to him while he talked to him, tried to encourage him. And he said, dear pastor, you're going to receive your reward. And the old pastor opened his eyes and looked up at him and said, dear brother, I'm going to receive mercy. Looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you getting a hold of this? This man receiveth sinners. Lastly is this. This is my last point. One more thing about him receiving sinners. One more step. I don't want to die suddenly. I think of this often. I want to get sick and linger just a little bit. Think about dying. I really do. I'm not like an old fellow that wants to get sick and linger and linger and linger and get well. But I do want to linger a little bit. I'll tell you why. I got some things I want to tell this old boy. Because he's scared to death about dying. David often talked to himself, didn't he? Talked to his soul. So, why are you cast down? Hope thou in God. He's the help and the health of your countenance. Oh, my soul. And I'm going to talk to my body. And I've been rehearsing some things that I'm going to say to my old body when I'm laying there, maybe in my last hours. And I'm going to talk to him something like this. I'm going to say, dear brother, I tell you, he's close kin, aren't we? The soul and body, man, they're united. They're precious one to another. It takes God to separate them. And I'm going to say, my dear brother, you and I have been together all of these years. And it's time now that we're going to separate. And it's going to be well with me. Because I'm going to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But listen now. I want to tell you something. You're going to have to exercise some patience. Because I want to tell you what's going to happen when I depart from you. First thing they're going to do is put a machine on you and suck the blood out of your body. Now wait a minute. Don't get scared. Brother, listen. Don't get scared. It's all right. It's all right. You'll be sleeping. You won't feel this. Hope. Rest in hope. And the next thing they're going to do to you, somebody's going to wash you. And they're going to put clothes on you. And they're going to bring you down front. And all your friends, they'll come. And some will be sad and some will be happy. And then they'll take you out. And they'll put you down in the cold, dark, damp ground. Listen, don't be afraid. You won't know a thing. You're resting. You're sleeping. Oh, well, for you to say, look at you.
Look how white you are. You've been washed. And look at that robe that you got on that was given to you. Just as beautiful now as it was when He gave it. Oh, you can say that. Can you give me any assurance that it's going to be well with me? That I can lay down and rest in hope and not be afraid? Yes, I can. And I'm going to. And I want you to get a hold of this, my dear brother. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. And my Father's going to have all of those dwelling places full. They reserved. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Oh, it's God's will, my dear brother, my dear body, that we be separated for a time, but not forever. The Lord Jesus is coming and He's bringing me with Him. And though your body's vile, look at it. It's vile. And it's weak and soon here to be corruptible. Yet, dear brother, He's going to change your vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. He's going to raise your corruptible body and He's going to make it incorruptible just like His. And He's going to bring me and you together and unite us for all eternity and we'll forever be with the Lord. Why? Because this man receiveth sinners. That's it. Isn't it not? Is that your hope? If you've entered into what I'm saying this evening, you won't retain it long. You'll lose it just in a second. God help us. God help us to lay hold upon it. This world knows nothing about it. The wise of this world can't enter into it, but I tell you what can enter into it. A simple, childlike faith. That can do it. God bless you.
Lord Jesus, receive me. Please receive me. I'm certainly a sinner. Certainly a sinner.